Well, amen and amen, church. I'll ask you again, good morning to you. How you doing? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Trey, for just leading us in that high and holy moment, man. I appreciate your sensitivity to the Spirit there. I want to always be about that. That's two things that I want to always be about as a church. The first one, what we just experienced, where it's like, hey, you know what? We need to sing this song right now, not this song. And we make that pit. Like, I love that. That's awesome. The second thing that I always want us to be about is, man, crying babies in this room rocks my socks. I'm telling you, like, do not be that person in church who gets mad about a crying baby in church. Because I've been to those churches where there's no crying babies, and I don't want that, right? So we praise the Lord for that. That's a joy. Man, that's what sets this apart as a church that's got a future and a church that's worth being at, all right? So so we celebrate that. Man, today, if you got a Bible, and I hope that you do, Luke chapter 10 is where we will be. We are going to wrap up the Hope series today. We've been in it ever since Easter Sunday, and so this is the fourth installment in a four-week series, and we'll wrap it up with that. Let me just remind you, as we come to this last message in the Hope series, that, like, hope is the fuel for gospel people. Like, if we don't have hope as Christians, we don't have anything. Right? The good news is that we have the quality of hope that can never be taken away from us. We've got resurrection hope in Jesus. We've got hope that's living and alive, hope that's powerful. And today we're going to talk about hope that abides, abiding hope, or hope that remains. And as we wrap up this story, I hope, pun not intended there with the word usage, but I hope that what happens is that this morning something is pressed into you that the devil does not have the ability to steal between now and next week. Like, I do hope that you find yourself in a church next week to worship and be around the word again, but my prayer today is that hope is given to you in such a way that it's unshakable, unmovable, that it's the kind of hope that has staying power. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we look at this passage. I'm dropping you right into the middle of Luke today, so I'm not going to give you a ton of contextual information or context for it either. We're going to jump right in. It's a bit of a seemingly random story that happens on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows what's coming for him there, and yet he still determines to go, even though it's going to end in his crucifixion. He recognizes that's God's plan for him, and so he determines to go to Jerusalem. And on the way, there's this random story about a couple of ladies whose names are Mary and Martha. You may have heard of them before, and we'll read that story together from God's word in Luke chapter 10. So let me invite you, if you're able, all around the room to stand up and just get our bodies in a position that says, hey, here we are, Lord. We are listening to you. Recognize that this is your word and it has the power to change, transform, shape us. And that's what we want today. So speak, Lord, because your people are listening. So let me read from Luke 10. We'll begin in verse 38 and you follow along with me. Luke is writing, and he says, while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Who welcomed him into her home? Martha did, right. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha, the one who invited Jesus into her home, Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up, I love this, she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Some of you in the room know that you're going to be left to serve alone today. I hope there's only a few of you, and I hope that somebody comes and helps. Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her, Lord, tell her to give me a hand. Verse 41, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. How many things are necessary? One thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this story that you saw fit to include in the Bible. And even though I'm sure that there were days that Martha wished this story did not make it into the Bible, I praise you for what you taught and showed her that your people today living in the 21st century desperately need to hear. So Jesus, today, would you teach us how to have abiding hope? And I pray this in your name. Amen. Have a seat. All right, so this is going to sound like one of the most restful sermons that Pastor Brian has ever preached in his life, right? I'll go ahead and betray it for you. If you got sermon notes and like you just want to go ahead and get them all done, don't fall asleep on me, but like, you know, if you want to just knock them all out, my action words for this sermon, here they are, right? Sitting, listening, remaining, and receiving. I mean, all of that is like, cool, man. We just like, just sit back, just listen, right? You don't got to talk. You just listen, just sit, enjoy yourself, just remain where you are. You don't got to go anywhere else. Just stay here and receive, right? Receive. In reality, what I'm going to invite you to this morning, is a war against our culture's way of life. Like, don't miss that. It sounds real relaxing and real restful and real nice and like something that everybody would want. But what I'm inviting you to this morning is a war against the way that our culture lives life. Now, it's a war that, by the way, your pastor is fighting. I fight this war every day. And you do too, by the way, whether you realize it or not. Oftentimes, it feels like I'm losing this war. You ask anybody today, how you doing? What's their answer? Man, we're busy. Busy, busy, busy. That is the defining characteristic of the lives of almost every person that you know, meet, and interact with throughout the course of your day. Busyness. So today, when I challenge you with the words sitting, listening, remaining, and receiving, it's gonna step on the face of your busyness and my busyness. So we'll try and break it down, and I'll hopefully make it simple enough that we can at least apply one or two things. And along the way, I'll drive some specific points home to those of you in the room that bear that title of mother or mom today. And so I guess not to be outdone by my worship pastor real quick. Mom's not here, but she's online. Love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. And we'll talk soon. Number one, if you got sermon notes this morning, I'm going to try and tell us from this passage how we can find and have abiding hope. So number one, abiding hope is found in, first of all, sitting at the Lord's feet. Abiding hope is found in sitting at the Lord's feet. In order to sit, you have to do something that none of us are very good at today. You have to be still. Sitting involves being still. And this is actually kind of cool because it's like a theme throughout the Bible, being still is, right? Being still, being quiet. Just a pure curiosity here. Anybody in the room, like, did your parents, when you were growing up and you'd go to sleep at night and you'd try and fall asleep and it just wasn't happening, right? Sleep was not coming to you. And so you'd go out, open up the door, go out to see mom and dad if they were out in the living room or in the bedroom already. And you'd be like, I can't fall asleep, right? And mom and dad just had this profound wisdom, this great advice that was matchless and beyond comparison. They would look at you and they would say, be still and be quiet. Well, thanks, Mom. I hadn't thought of that while I was laying there still in bed, being quiet, trying to fall asleep. But nevertheless, it is good advice because truthfully, if you can manage to be still and be quiet long enough, then typically sleep comes to you. These words that your mom and dad will hopefully gave to you, man, it's good biblical advice too. Be still and be quiet. This theme runs all throughout the scripture. You think of Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. The Israelites are standing at the Red Sea, right? They're hoping to, they need a way to be made through the sea. They don't know how it's going to happen yet. They need to be delivered. Pharaoh's army is on their tail and he's catching up. And Moses is like, God, why did you bring us here? Because we're all about to die, right? And God is like, hey, stand by. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Be still. Psalm 46:10, a fantastic song that's actually in reference to a time when the kingdom of Israel was under attack, surrounded by Assyria. And that famous verse, Psalm 46:10, some of you have it as wall decor in your house, right? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Zephaniah 3:17 is another good one. If you don't have that one highlighted in your Bible, man, I'd encourage you to, because it's like, it's powerful to know. It's, you hear God speaking personally to you. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who saves. He will sing over you with shouts of joy. He will be quiet in his love. Last, I think of Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. He's depressed. He's fought this miraculous battle. He's been victorious. And then he gets threatened by an evil pagan queen woman. And he runs for his life. And he falls into great depression. And he's asking the questions, where's God? What is God doing with my life? Why does it feel like God's not paying attention to me? Where are you, God? And he goes to the mountain of God to try and find the Lord. And the Bible says that a number of things happened. There was a whirlwind, like a fire, a wind of fire, and it came, but the Lord was not in the whirlwind. And then there was an earthquake, and the earthquake shook the mountain, and the rocks broke, and they fell down, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And other things happened, and Elijah still didn't find the Lord. And then there was a quiet hush, a whisper, a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he knew that he had heard the voice of God. So it's in the stillness, it's in the quietness that you hear the voice of the Lord. But again, I return your attention to what I said at the beginning, that today you and I are so busy that we're lucky if we hear the audible physical voices of the human beings around us, much less the still small whisper of our Heavenly Father. In today's frenetic, crazy-paced life, can you hear the voice of God? Well, yes, but you're probably going to have to slow down a little bit. I say that like it's so easy, you know? Like, is it just that simple? Like, how can you be still in today's world? What with all of our devices and the notifications that are constantly going off, or our schedules and the calendar that's constantly filled up? How do we be still? Well, let me just give you three practical pointers, if I can, for how to be still and sit at the Lord's feet. And unfortunately, I wish I could give it to you easier than I can, but I can't. The first one is that time must be made. It will not be found. If you wait until you can find time to spend time with God, get right with God, do whatever in your relationship with God, sit at God's feet, you'll never find it. It's not there. You have to make it happen. You have to make time for this thing. If you prioritize it, then you will. You and I make time for all sorts of silly things. So you have to make time. Number two, you got to eliminate distractions. Now, I don't know how this works for you, right? But if you've got a phone that you can turn on, do not disturb, like while you're doing your quiet time, while you're trying to hear the voice of the Lord, while you're spending a few moments in prayer, while you're reading your Bible. And I hope that that's something that you at least make an effort to do each day. But you're going to have to tune out the distractions. Maybe one day this week while you're driving in your car, you can decide like, hey, I'm not going to listen to anything on this drive. No podcasts, no music, no talk radio. Just keep it quiet and listen for the voice of the Lord. Eliminate distractions. Make the time. Don't expect to find it. And then finally, here's the third one. Practice makes perfect. How many times do you and I give up on things after the first time or the second time that we do them and we're no good at them? It happens all the time to me. So just a confession for you. I'm remarkably competitive, right? I hate losing. Like, it is one of my least favorite things ever. If I can avoid losing, I will do it pretty much at all costs, including by not playing, right? So that if I know I'm going to lose, I'm like, I'm good. You guys have fun. I just don't like to lose. So I'm not going to tell you that or admit it, except here on Sunday mornings, right? Time when we can be honest with each other. So the thing is, what I'm trying to get at is that you and I as humans, like, we're not good at anything the first time we do it. Sure, we all have that one friend who he picks up whatever and it's automatically, you know, like he's a professional at it. But that's not me, and that's probably not most of you in the room. The chances are the first time that you try and spend undistracted, unhurried, unrushed time with your Father in heaven, it's not going to go well. The devil doesn't like it, by the way. So he's going to come at you, right? All of a sudden, it's like nobody ever texts you. But that day that you decide to spend some time with Jesus, here they come. So just know that it's going to take practice and it's going to get better over time. What matters is that you embrace this as something that's important, right? It's important enough to sit at the Lord's feet. If you're a mom in the room, let me speak to you for just a minute. I want to encourage you today to make a commitment. You got to force your quiet time to happen. It will not happen on its own. If you're a dad in the room, can I ask you, man to man, guard mama's quiet time. Guard it. Like you fight that battle for her so that she can have undistracted time in God's word, whatever it takes. But if you're a mama in the room, then you just got to force it. You just got to decide. This is important enough to me. I'm going to have my time sitting at the Lord's feet. Number two on your notes. It's this little tiny line that gets mentioned in our passage today that Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to the word of the Lord. Listening to the Lord's word on your sermon notes. Another big theme that runs all throughout the scripture, the word of the Lord, right? The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. We typically, when we hear the word of the Lord, we think of the Bible, and that's good because that's where all of the Lord's words are stored up and kept for us in the scriptures. But all throughout, like when God comes to use a prophet, it's like the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the son of whoever, and he said this, right? Jesus teaches the word of the Lord. Whenever he opens his mouth to speak with his disciples around him, he teaches the word of the Lord. And so Mary prioritizes the Lord's word as she sits at the feet of Jesus. Here's the question that I want to ask you. Have you heard his word? Now, I don't just mean, have you heard a preacher get up and preach his word from Sunday to Sunday? I mean, on the inside, in your heart, have you heard the word of the Lord come to you and call you out, convicting you of your sin, telling you of your need for his salvation, and then inviting you to come and be his child? Have you heard the word of the Lord? And if so, have you responded to it? See, this is the most important matter to attend to on this earth. I don't know if you guys... Like, I got all sorts of cheesy Christian acronyms, y'all. I grew up as a 90s and early 2000s Christian kid, and so that was what we did for whatever reason. Christian Radio, Awana, which, by the way, there's one of them for you. Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed, Awana, okay? So, like, all the cheesy Christian acronyms just live in my brain all the time. Here's one for you. You know that this book is the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Not that's the book for me, although it is. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Yeah, that's pretty good, right? That'll preach on a Sunday morning to have basic instructions before leaving earth. Hey, here's the reality. Aging is a real phenomenon. You know, I consider myself incredibly blessed that I right now am experiencing four generations of living aldermans. That's pretty cool, right? My grandpa, my pa, still alive, still with us today. My dad, still alive. Here I am, obviously. And then my son, Eli, who many of you know, and of course my daughter, Louie, as well. There's other members of each generation. But to have four generations of family, that's a cool thing, and that's a privilege not everybody gets. So I don't take that for granted, but here's what's crazy. Here lately, I've gotten on phone or FaceTime with my grandpa, and occasionally, this is crazy, occasionally it's like, man, he struggles to remember who I am. And like, I look at my dad, and my dad doesn't look old to me until I look at pictures of him from 10 years ago, and then I'm like, oh man, he's going to be offended, by the way, he's probably going to watch this, and so I have to clean that up. And I look at myself in the mirror, and I just think I kind of look like I always have, but then I look at pictures from 10 years ago in my own life. And I think, oh man. See, the point that I'm trying to make is that we're all heading in one direction. You know where and how this thing ends, right? You know that it's going to. No matter how good you eat, no matter how well you take care of yourself, no matter how hard you work out, it's all going to the same end. Time and gravity and death undefeated in this life. And you and I have to remember that that's where we're going. So one day, you're going to leave Earth. Have you read the basic instructions before doing so? Don't get lost in the cheesiness of that, right? The point is this. The Lord has a word for you, and he wants you to hear it. He created those ears and shaped them so that you could hear his word. That's what he wants for you. So the question is, are you listening? Mom's in the room. It's this amazing superpower that you have of hearing everything. I don't know how you do it. One side of the house to the other. Me and my brothers are bickering when we're young kids. Mom's in the laundry room. The dryer's going, the washer's going, the TV's on, the sink is running, whatever else. And I whisper, I'm gonna, you know, to my younger brother, right? And somehow mom heard it. I don't know how she does it. But moms, you have a superpower of hearing everything. The danger is that you don't hear the one thing. Don't miss the one thing, the voice of your heavenly Father, while you're busy hearing everything. Number three on your sermon notes, not just sitting at the Lord's feet, you do that, you'll find hope in Jesus. Not just listening to his word, you do that, you'll find some hope in Jesus. But remaining focused on the Lord's priority. You heard what Jesus said to Martha, right? Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Here's the priority of the Lord. He shares it with us very clearly in Matthew 6:33. We sang about it this morning. Seek first the kingdom. No, wait, is that coming after? It was song three, but now it's the... All right, so we're going to... prophetic moment for you. We're going to sing, seek first the kingdom. And that's what Jesus says to his disciples when he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, you prioritize me, and I promise I'll take care of you. Are you chasing after that one thing? See, here's the deal. Like, serving is really important. What Martha was doing was really important. I highlighted that while we were reading the scripture because it's important to remember that Martha invited Jesus to her house, and that came with some responsibilities. We should be understanding of Martha, who makes the invitation, and then all she's trying to do is get stuff ready for the Lord. The dishes aren't bad, but they can wait while the Lord is in your midst. Lunch, food, preparations, it's not bad. Those are good things. They're necessary. But they can wait while the Lord is in the room. Your appointments, your commitments, your to-do list, not bad things, good things, necessary things from a worldly perspective. But they can wait when the Lord is in the room. So, brothers and sisters, don't get distracted by the many things when the one thing is right in front of your face. The way that Jesus says this, you know, when he addresses her, he uses her name twice, Martha, Martha. And like, ink was precious back then, so you got to remember that when you're reading the Bible. So like, to write the name twice is a deal, you know? And this happens throughout the scripture. I think of Jesus in Matthew 23, verse 37, after he's pronounced the woes, or the like this angry rebuke against the Pharisees, he speaks out over the city of Jerusalem, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather you under my protection, like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have it. It's an invitation mixed with a rebuke. Happens again. Acts chapter 9, verse 4, guy named Saul is on his way to persecute the church. And Jesus speaks to him. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's an invitation mixed with a rebuke. Stop doing what you're doing. Come do something different. If you think all the way back to toward the beginning of your Bible, Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, there's a bush that's on fire and a shepherd who's nearby that bush. His name is Moses, and he goes over to check it out. And from the bush, he hears the voice of the Lord speak to him, Moses, Moses. It's an invitation to step into all that God has for him, and a rebuke to stop fooling around with the sheep of Midian and go deliver God's people. When Jesus speaks to Martha and says her name, Martha, Martha, I don't know, I don't pick up from his tone that he's mad at her. I get the sense that there's a little rebuke in there mixed with a great invitation. Hey girl, I'm not going to be here forever. Come sit at my feet while I teach. We'll take care of the dishes later. We'll take care of the food later. We'll host the guests and practice hospitality later. Come sit at my feet while I teach. Moms, let me ask you a question. What has your attention today? Is it the many things? Or is it the one thing? I'd encourage you to remain focused on the Lord's priority and let it fuel you to then go out and tackle the many things that you do have to get around to in time. Number four, and finally on your notes, is receiving the Lord's affirmation. Now listen, I'm kind of drawing this one out. It's not like, I don't think I'm being unfair to the Bible, so to make that clear, but it's not something that normally gets picked up in this passage. See, Jesus makes his rebuke and his word to Martha. But what was Jesus doing when Martha approached him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone, so tell her to come and give me some help. What was Jesus doing? He was teaching. So here he is. He's in a circle, probably sitting down with his disciples. Mary's there. Other people are there. And they're listening as Jesus teaches. You got to read between the lines in your Bible, man. Martha comes up in the middle of this and asks Jesus for some help from her sister. So when Jesus speaks his words back, my bet is that the crowd's still right there. Here's the disciples. Here's Mary. And so, yeah, the sting of the rebuke that happens publicly, you know, Martha, Martha, stop worrying about the many things. Worry about the one thing. But then listen to what he says as Mary is listening along. One thing's necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her. Why do I highlight that? Well, because I'm a married man, and I'm blessed in that regard. I've got the best wife in the world, and I get to say that because I have the microphone this morning. I've got a great mom. I've got a great mother-in-law. I've got great grandparents all around me. And here's what I know. That rather than hearing and receiving the Lord's affirmation, what so often gets caught up in the minds of moms is self-doubt, self-dislike, and even self-hatred. Sisters, that's part of the burden that I think the Lord has just kind of given you to bear. It's come not as a gift from him, but as part of the curse, the fall into sin, right? That for whatever reason, it's just so stinking hard for you to hear that sweet, affirming voice of your Father who loves you and who made you and who's beaming in pride over you if you're his daughter in Christ. It's so much easier to hear that loud, screaming voice of the devil who tells you you're not enough and that you're broken, too broken to be loved, and that the reason he walked out is blah, blah, blah. It's because of you. Or the reason that your friend did this, it's because of you. Or the reason that people don't seem to want to hang out with you, it's because of some defect in you that you know. And I'm just trying to tell you today, especially the sisters in the room, guys, I'm not saying that you don't struggle with this. I know that some of you do. It's just that for us, a lot of times it's easier to kind of block it out, right? So sister in the room, I'm trying to tell you that if you want hope, then it comes from receiving the Lord's affirmation over you. It comes from slowing down, from eliminating distractions, and from trying to dial in to your Heavenly Father as he speaks over you. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Listen, on a day like today, like I mentioned, with the highs and with the lows that come with a holiday like this, where we celebrate moms, I just recognize that there's not anything that I can say as a pastor that can heal the hurts that have been, you know, caused in your heart. I recognize that I can give you God's word to the best of my ability and hope that it encourages you. And do more than hope. I can pray and I can ask God that he'll speak to you today. Whether you're a mom or not yet a mom, or wanting to be a mom, or in some moments, maybe wanting to not be a mom, right? All I can do is remind you that the number one priority that you and I have to pursue is hearing the word of the Lord Jesus and responding to him when he invites us. So I don't know what it looks like for you to respond to that today, but I want to invite you to do it. I can ask some questions like, man, how's priority number one right now in your life? Is it going well? Are you taking care of what's most important? That's your walk with Jesus. I can ask, what will you do about it? If the answer to that question is no, how can you get it on the right path? And I think that those are good and important questions worth asking. But I think more than anything, what I want to do and what I hope to do is give you space to hear the voice of your Heavenly Father. I know that you're going to walk up out of here, and this goes for all of us, right? We do this every single week. We hear a decent message, and we take off. And before our feet have hit the parking lot, it's like, on to the next thing, right? That's that pace that we live at. That's the busyness. So this morning, what I want to do is I just want to give you a couple minutes of just quiet space to dial into your Heavenly Father. Maybe the most important thing that you do today, to just slow down and listen to what he has to say to you. Man, if you don't have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, then I want to invite you that today you can step across that line. Like, you can become a child of God who can sing things like that song we did do at the beginning, I am who you say I am, and be confident in your identity. I'd love to talk to you about that. And in just a moment when we respond, I'll be up here at the front. You're welcome to come and talk to me about it. But for all of you in the room today, how's number one? How is your walk with Jesus? Would you take just a few minutes as the worship team comes up, and would you listen in for the voice of your Heavenly Father this morning and hear what his word speaks over you? I'll close this in prayer in just a moment. Lord, I know that there are some in this room who, like, this is a really easy thing because they're in the habit of coming to you and spending time with you. And Lord, you've blessed them and they're getting to celebrate. And we praise you for that. We thank you because that's a blessing that none of us deserve, and yet you've given it to us. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your beauty, and most of all for the gospel, for the good news of our Lord Jesus, who died to restore us into that right relationship with you, Father. Also recognize that there's some in this room that are struggling. They may be struggling to hear your voice, or they're struggling to affirm what you affirm about them, or they're struggling because they're upset with you today, Lord, because maybe they want to be a mom, and for whatever reason, you've withheld that privilege thus far. So Jesus, I just pray that you'll help us to sit at your feet this morning and to listen to you, to worship you, and recognize that when we worship, we wage war against our enemy and against our flesh and against the world around us by saying, like, hey, whatever I'm feeling, this is what's true. And I pray that you'll help us to rejoice in what you have given us. That at the end of the day, we can say, everything that I need, maybe not everything I want, but everything I need has been given to me through the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we respond to you in worship, you'll be in our midst this morning. And I pray it in Jesus' name.